morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending upon where you are in the world. This is Tom Capone, and we have another session of Coffee in the Clouds with the New York Distance Learning Association. Today we have James DeMeo. James has over 25 years in the security industry, and he's considered a subject matter expert in event security. James has tremendous background and was part of a research team with esteemed professors utilizing the Delphi method for poster protection presented last year's NASSM, which was the North American Society for Sports Management in Orlando. James came to us through Homeland Security, our relationship with the Science and Technology Directorate, and we welcome James to Coffee in the Clouds. James, how are you today?
Tom, great to be here. Thank you.
You know, you have a very storied past, and your background is so interesting, but you are in the profession that, sadly, we desperately need right now. And it seems like it's going to have no slowing down. The company is USESC. What does USESC stand for?
Sure, Tom. It's Unified Sports and Entertainment Security Consulting.
So when I think of arenas, when I think of NFL, when I think of you know, any type of venue that has thousands or tens of thousands of people, whether it's the Indy 500 or an NFL football game or an NBL, you know, baseball game, NBA, et cetera, this is the area that you are focused. This is true?
This is true. I call it confined space protection, but those densely populated areas, obviously where a lot of people come together to take in sporting events.
Now, is it that it's just now in, you know, public view? Has this been an issue and an area of concern for many, many years, or is it only because of the internet and the media that this is really coming into light, that this is such a major area that we need to be concerned about?
Well, certainly, you know, as a security leader in the space, I'm not one who's an alarmist. Through continuing education, training, and career development resources for event staff, we like to place those folks being guest services and security in a position of strength in terms of situational awareness and doing everything they can in terms of duty of care responsibilities while they're out at the ballpark. So to answer your question succinctly, it's more of a timely discussion in terms of the recent challenges we're seeing, certainly post Boston, Orlando, Nice, University of Texas, Dallas, San Diego, whether it's an active shooter, workplace violence situation, some type of disenfranchised individual possibly suffering from mental illness. We all come together in terms of what we can do in regard to duty of care and that entrusted responsibility while fans take in the experience at any stadium, venue, and arena in the United States.
Now, ultimately, who is the entity that is the most concerned, or who is the entity that is ultimately responsible for the safety and security of folks that attend an NFL game or an NBA game, et cetera?
Well, certainly, as I mentioned a short while earlier, that duty of care falls upon everybody that works within that space, Tom. So it's everybody from guest services, security, box office, all the way up to the CEOs and the ownership groups that have a vested financial interest in any type of professional sports entity. So again, we all come together in terms of doing what we can to make the experience for the fan enjoyable and safe at the same time.
Okay. So how much of this is a technology-based solution versus education and best practices and, you know, understanding the space that you're in? How much of it's technology, how much of it's knowledge, how much of it is talent?
I think it's a kind of sum of all the parts. It's the integration of technology, and that would include responsible social media monitoring, what's posted in the public space, whether it's on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and that information can certainly be monitored responsibly from command centers throughout stadiums, venues, and arenas. And I also think it's the educational component. it's you know, obviously giving those tools to guest services and security, whether it be verbal de-escalation, whether it be proactive risk mitigation training. But it's a combination of many of those facets, and as we're seeing now, as I mentioned earlier, Tom, the challenges continue for all of us entrusted with duty of care to do everything that we can to make the event safe and secure without obviously becoming overzealous and creating a police state inside that space. So to answer your question, again, it's we want to look at security holistically from multiple angles to do everything we can, again, to make the fans safe and entertained during the 2.5 to 3 hours they're taking in a particular event.
Okay. So now your company and what you're now doing on a day-to-day basis, is your focus more now on the training and the education to the venue owners and the managers of the venue? Is it more, you know, training and knowledge versus the technology, or do you also get involved in the technology side?
I look at it from multiple angles, as I've mentioned. Certainly, I partner with technology groups. Again, we share the different knowledge, again, at the integration of technology platforms, whether it be smartphones and certain apps that command centers can monitor. Again, as I mentioned, responsible social media monitoring. But again, it's key in terms of in-house stadium security and that blend, if you will, with the part-time event staff, which tends to have a higher turnover. In terms of staff. So certainly trying to educate everyone to have situational awareness, and that would include, obviously, during ingress, to understand how to effectively screen patrons, whether it's hand wanding or metal arches, for folks in the command centers to utilize the CC television, the access control, and the research component that I've worked with in higher education to do studies on, again, the overall impact of security and guest services on the fan experience. And obviously, from a marketing standpoint, that is what drives and fuels the market. But ultimately, all the metrics and all the and marketing and sponsorship kind of goes by the wayside if there's any type of adverse situation in any stadium, venue, and arena in the United States.
Now, when it's a really big event, like we had the Super Bowl here in the New York Tri-State area a couple years ago, which obviously was you know, something that they started planning years out. Olympics, Indy 500, you know, college football games, etc. Does each event have its own nuance? Is a college football game different than an NFL game? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, it's a terrific question, and certainly, you know, one of the things that we want to look at is the demographics of the crowd that our venue, stadium, arena is going to attract. So as you mentioned, with mega events, and that could even be the Boston Marathon, where they've utilized drones now, tethered drones at the starting line to kind of look for potential trouble spots in the crowd. But certainly understanding who's coming to our stadium, venue, and arena, studying that carefully, sharing that information with fellow venue directors throughout the country based on lessons learned, best practices. I think, again, places us all in a position of strength in terms of leading people to safety if there's any type of crisis situation. So certainly on the professional level, they've been able to utilize the resources of the Department of Homeland Security, the Joint Terrorism Task Force. Certainly those public-private partnerships are key, along with fusion centers as information conduits, if you will, and resources. My concern, Tom, quite honestly, is the mid-sized venues and certainly some of the smaller events that don't have those kinds of resources to protect those respective spaces.
So I think back over the years, some of the things that we've experienced, wasn't too long ago we had a Super Bowl where the lights went out, right? It wasn't a terror. Wasn't anything more than a power failure, but yet that could have been, you know, disastrous if people panicked, et cetera. So it's not just, you know, protecting, you know, from terror issues, et cetera. It could be anything. Am I right?
Yes, pretty much runs the gamut A through Z, and we're seeing, again, it could be any type of inclement weather condition if you're not properly prepared, especially if you're at some type of a golf tournament or an outdoor open-ended venue. Certainly dealing with drones is concerning. The incident you mentioned, obviously, kudos to the NFL. In that case, they decided to keep the players on the field, which, again, did not create any sense of panic. I think back to when LeBron James was playing with the Miami Heat and they had a game in San Antonio. a few years back in the NBA Finals, and the air conditioning went out. So my first thoughts was maybe it was some type of, obviously, cybersecurity breach or terrorist attack. You know, again, thankfully, it was nothing more than a facilities issue, but you have to look at, you know, the asthmatic fan in Section 101 due to the intense heat in AT&T Stadium. Obviously, we're home of the Spurs. So we look at it from multiple angles. Certainly, you know, having those pre-planned responses well thought out in advance, having those procedures and protocols ready to act and react accordingly, again, places us all in the best position possible to mitigate those risks to the least amount of harm possible.
So it seems like your industry is right at the crossroads of this handoff of, you know, old school best practices teaching, you know, to now we have the cloud and we have online classes and we have tutorials and, you know, you can learn things, you know, first responders can, you know, try to learn how to address something on the fly. How do you wrap your arms around the fact that this is such a, you know, massive undertaking? I mean, there's not a college, university, school, there's not a facility from a stadium to an arena to, I just, my mind is racing to think, like, how can you possibly, address this? And what are best practices to even begin the process of risk mitigation on such a grand scale?
Well, you're absolutely correct. It is a grand scale. I always use the analogy, Tom, if you were a Major League Baseball player and you got up to the plate 10 times and you got three hits, you were a 300 hitter, you could essentially make $5 to $7 million a year playing Major League Baseball as an example. Well, in all reality, in the security industry, unfortunately, nobody bats 1,000%. So we look at that situation in Paris with the guard. He had about 10 years in the security industry. Ironically enough, he never had worked that venue prior to that fateful day, but he certainly had the situational awareness to mitigate that risk to the greatest degree possible without causing any more loss of life in that scenario. So certainly, you know, our challenges continue on a daily basis. Again, as I mentioned earlier, as a leader in the space, I'm not about creating fear, but it's more about empowering the fan to be knowledgeable about what's tolerated in terms of acceptable behaviors when they're out at the ballpark, and that harmonious relationship between security, guest services, and the fan to create that amazing game day experience.
Got it. Now, I'm on your website right now, and you've got a catchphrase here, security beyond the five-minute huddle. Tell me about that.
Well, really, it came to light during a podcast discussion with Troy Kirby, which I was thankful for. I actually had two podcasts with Troy, but, you know, it's those Yellow Jackets getting together before an event, and, you know, the days of those five-minute huddles where, you know, at the pre-event meetings, you have the security director and guest services and security kind of all huddled up, and, you know, maybe in years past we could get away with it, but as you mentioned earlier, it really is a litany of challenges. So getting beyond that five-minute huddle, I think, again, places us in a position of strength based upon the numerous challenges we're seeing in the event management vertical. So that's kind of my catchphrase, is to share that information that in these troubling times, again, we're not creating fear, but we're trying to increase the overall knowledge, the certifications, the training for the folks that are entrusted with that duty of care. And again, it takes more than a five-minute discussion. This is something that, in my opinion, sports and entertainment security, as I've written about, is a multi-billion dollar juggernaut, and we really need to be prepared. I always talk about event staff bringing their A-plus game to every stadium, venue, and arena in the United States, and that, again, is following NIMS and certifications and training and cross-training between guest services and security to understand their respective roles in terms of leading people to safety in times of crisis.
So who is the entity, who is the person that you are most hoping to have a contact with or a conversation? Is it the facilities manager? Who's your target audience that you're hoping to have some interaction with?
Well, it's a terrific question, and I thank you for asking that. Certainly the general managers, obviously the CFOs, chief financial officers, business continuity and resiliency, And again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, those folks that are entrusted with duty of care, the key decision makers, because unfortunately, Tom, we don't really have these discussions unless something really, really bad happens. Unfortunately, here in the United States and certainly throughout Europe, we're seeing that, you know, these active shooters and these unfortunate incidents are occurring more on a daily basis. So, again, my target audience is the folks that, you know, screen people, get services security, training them, having the organizations getting the greatest ROI on my services, and that would be in terms of understanding what keeps them up at night. And it's many of the issues that we're discussing right now, conducting site visits, which, you know, obviously include thorough, assessments at stadiums, venues, and arenas to see where the weaknesses are, and sharing information and knowledge with those folks that deal with these events, 250 to 300 events a year, to have someone on the outside who has the expertise, knowledge, and skill set to maybe see things that they're not necessarily seeing, you know, in the event management vertical.
Got it. So, you know, again, we met you through Homeland Security. We actually have links off of the ready.gov website, you know, because we deal with things like business continuity and disaster recovery and, you know, how do you communicate after a hurricane and how do you back up data and, you know, all the technology-based solutions that help people to, you know, survive or recover or, you know, just deal with all these things that are in the world today. Let me ask you this question, okay? Is the insurance industry, you know, connected to you in any way? I mean, at what point does, you know, the risk mitigation and the training, you know, tie into the potential insurance side for all these venues and events?
Well, that's another terrific question. Certainly under the Safety Act, obviously that's something, you know, we could take a look at in terms of trying to be Safety Act certified. I've reached out to several security companies, and again, I'm not an insurance agent, but I would imagine, you know, you could place yourself as an ownership group in a terrific position if you proactively train your staff, because none of those folks really want to be in a court of law 6 months down the road explaining why they did not train their security staff to the highest level possible. And usually what we've seen, certainly with the, you know, obviously the Los Angeles Dodgers and with the Brian Stowe case in 2011, they were sued for $15, $20 million because they skimped on security. Another example being the Chicago White Sox were sued for $100,000 because there was a few fans that were assaulted in the exterior parking lot at a game a few years ago. We saw that the organizers from South by Southwest had a notice of claim because of a drunk driver fatality incident that occurred in Austin. So seeing time and time again that if you know, ownership groups don't avail themselves of the resources and proactively train, that unfortunately the inherent risks that they're exposed to are tremendous. So that relationship between what I'm trying to do, the Safety Act, obviously getting out the education and providing security training for staff, I think places the ownership groups, and again, I'm not an attorney, but I would think that you could reduce your liability if you were able to articulate clearly that you brought in experts to strengthen and fortify your security training within the space.
Wow. Now, I don't know why I'm thinking of this right now, but I remember it was towards the end of last year, I think, you correct me if I'm wrong, I think I saw something along the lines of there was a proposed law that would allow people to bring guns into Seahawks Stadium. Was that fake news, or was that actually real?
We're seeing that, certainly Arkansas, and, you know, I spent 4 years living in Texas, you know, right to carry, an open carry, campus carry, but certain groups are pushing that, and there's certain law enforcement agencies around the country that are trying to fight that, obviously, for obvious reasons. And, you know, again, it's a Second Amendment question, but when we're dealing with those confined spaces, Tom, we certainly should have contracted law enforcement that has the highest level of training possible. Because, again, we're dealing with so many different potential scenarios within that space. It could be dealing with an intoxicated fan and trying to mitigate that risk. And, again, it could be a workplace violence kind of scenario. So, yes, you are right. There are obviously legislation that's come up. It's a topic of discussion that needs further explanation. But certainly the discussion continues on a daily basis about the pros and cons of that scenario.
Wow. So If we have someone that's the facilities manager at one of the colleges or universities, or you know, even some of the corporations that we work with have very large training facilities and amphitheaters that hold hundreds of people, etc. These are all candidates, and these are all entities that you would hope to get an audience with. Am I hearing you right?
Absolutely. And again, it could be from a smaller organization to, you know, a larger professional sports league. I mean, at the end of the day, the duty of care comes back to everyone who's entrusted with properly safeguarding that space. So it's a timely discussion. And certainly, you know, we're seeing throughout the country the need for, again, situational awareness. Unfortunately, during an active shooter situation, you know, response time for law enforcement is anywhere between 7 and 15 minutes. So I've prided myself on, again, not alarming citizens and the public, but sharing information on how they should have a pre-planned response to ensure their own safety. Because unfortunately, all the bad stuff is over with pretty much by the time law enforcement arrives on the scene. So obviously run, hide, fight, obviously training modules, awareness, you know, utilizing social media to understand what's going on around you, and just paying attention to, unfortunately, a very conflicted world that we're currently living in.
With everybody carrying smartphones and everybody on Twitter and texting, et cetera, what about the attendees of the events? Are they part of the problem, or are they now part of the solution?
I think they very much could be part of the solution as opposed to them being a problem. And again, you know, having relationships with technology vendors, certain smart apps. Obviously, we've seen with the Golden State Warriors and their amazing brand in the Northern California market, but they have utilized iBeacon technology, you know, obviously for their fans. So any fan that attends any type of sporting event, based on obviously the resources, you know, that the ownership group can provide in terms of apps, I think it's a great way for a fan to send an anonymous text about an intoxicated fan in Section 101 to a security staff member, who, again, can best mitigate that risk either through verbal de-escalation or with the help of contracted law enforcement working at a particular venue, stadium, or arena.
Got it. So if folks want to learn more, what's the best way to contact you?
Absolutely, Tom. Thank you again. It's a timely discussion. It's an honor to be here. And my name is James A. DeMayo. I'm the founder, president, and CEO of Unified Sports and Entertainment Security Consulting. I have a newly launched website. It's SNEEventsecurity.com, and I look forward to future collaborations with your organization. Again, it's a tremendous honor to be here. It's a timely, important subject where we're all trying to share information. And again, it's really about our rights and freedoms, and certainly in light of all the challenges, we want the folks to have a safe, enjoyable time and have that harmonious relationship between the fan and security at every stadium, venue, and arena in the United States.
James, I really appreciate your time today, and this was another session of Coffee in the Clouds. Take care.
Thank you, Tom.